the Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You'll note two absent justices. They will join us as soon as traffic allows. We are here this morning on case 2014-1778, Geneva Area Recreational, Educational, and Athletic Trust et al. Versus Joseph Testa, Tax Commissioner of Ohio et al. For the appellant, Ms. Trapp.
Good morning, Madam Chief Justice, members of the court. I'm Mary Jane Trapp with the law firm of Thrasher, Dinsmore, and Dolan on behalf of the Geneva Area Recreational, Educational, and Athletic Trust operating the SPIRE Institute. SPIRE is an acronym for Sports, Philanthropy, Innovation, Recreation, and Education. And this appeal focuses on the interpretation of two code sections, 5709.12 and 5709.121, and the Board of Tax Appeals' misapplication of this court's precedent regarding charitable use of real estate tax exemption. We have to begin any argument and analysis with this court's longstanding precedent that real property belonging to an institution, whether it's charitable or non-charitable, that is used exclusively for a charitable purpose is exempt from taxation under 5709.12b. If SPIRE is a non-charitable institution, then SPIRE's property is exempt if SPIRE exclusively uses it for charitable purposes, according to 5709.12b. If SPIRE is a charitable institution, then SPIRE's property is still exempt if it uses it exclusively for charitable purposes or if SPIRE uses the property under the terms set forth in .121, as long as it's in the furtherance of or incident to charitable, educational, or public purposes without a view to profit. We submit that the impact of the flawed decision of the Board of Tax Appeals in this case not only threatens the very existence of SPIRE, but this and its incomparable one-of-a-kind community, sports, recreational, and educational complex that literally is the size of the Columbus Convention Center.
Council, can you focus a little bit on the lease that exists? Tell me about that. Tell me the parties and tell me the terms, please.
Sure. We have a lease from Ronnie Lee LLC, which is a for-profit LLC, that leased the SPIRE property to SPIRE, to Great, for a 99-year lease, $1. It's renewable for another 99. This court's precedent in Ralston Car Company versus Ralston, the court has held that those kind of long-standing, long-term leases, a perpetual ground lease, which is what this is, vest fee ownership in the lessee. There's a concern that was expressed by the BTA and by the state that there's some sort of self-dealing or that this lease the terms could be revised. And because you have the Cutters who were the beneficiary, the benefactors of SPIRE by purchasing the property, changing the ownership to Ronnie LLC, then leasing it for this long-term 99-year lease to SPIRE, that there's some sort of collusion or self-dealing. And that is some reason to overlook.
Are they not? Isn't it a husband and wife that runs this operation?
It is a husband and wife who were the benefactors.
They owned
the property. Now
Ronnie Lee.
Yes.
Okay, and then Ronnie Lee leased it to
SPIRE.
And SPIRE is an entity that is owned by the husband?
No, it is. Mr. Cutter sits on the board, but is a member of a board. And what I think the BTA and the state of and the tax commissioner is overlooking is that there is an absolute firewall to protect the charitable nature of the use of that property. And it's called, and I always joke, I don't do windows and I don't do taxes, but I do understand one thing. In this instance, the IRS firewall that protects against self-dealing is called the excess benefits transaction with disqualified persons. If the Cutters were to receive, which there is no evidence in this record that they have, but if the Cutters in this instance were to receive any profits or any benefits, then there are substantial penalties to the charity. There is personal liability for all of the directors. They risk losing there would be the revocation of their tax exempt status, Spire's tax exempt status.
So that's what it's risk here. Can you describe the charitable posture of Spire? Why is this purely a charitable institution?
It is operated without a view to profit. It's used exclusively, as required under Herb Society versus Tracy and Planned Parenthood versus Tax Commissioner, exclusively for a charitable purpose that advances spirituality, physical advancement, intellectual advancement, and
how are they funded? How do they support the athletes that attend?
It is supported by, and that actually is the key here that was forgotten or ignored by the BTA.
Interestingly, I just wrote down, key is the charitable institution. So let's unlock that.
Okay.
Use that key to unlock this problem. What does Spire have going for it that puts it clearly in the camp of charitable institution?
It runs a educational institute at which and no student pays full tuition.
And how many students do they have?
At the time that this case was heard, about 30 students. But that's a part of it. The genesis of Spire came from the financial crisis that schools faced in Geneva. You have to make a decision on whether you're going to fund essential services or you're going to support athletics for student athletes and for regular kids that just want to participate in a soccer camp or advance their basketball skills. So the Geneva area schools football and track program are a key portion of what is provided.
Do they have any users of this facility that pay?
Sure.
Okay, describe that.
If a senior citizen wants to come in and walk the track, they can pay $1. There are large groups that come in and rent the facility for tournaments, but on a case-by-case basis, it's determined how much they will pay.
Do the users of the facility pay a fee for services or not?
Some do, some don't. It is done on a case-by-case basis.
Are there any of the users that are means-tested? Is there any gradual sliding system for those who are unable? And are there any free services?
There are free services. There are many free services. And I think that some figures that appear in the record but were ignored by the BTA are important to answer your question. Yes, there were revenues. I mean, this is a very large facility. It takes a lot of money to heat it, cool it, light it.
What is the annual revenue?
At the time of this case, the revenues were $7.5 million, but, and this is the big but in this case, and an important, the case turns on this, $6 million of that revenue came directly from individuals and business donors, not from rentals of the property, not from programs, not from services. So the expenses for that year, take the $7.5 million in revenue, but the expenses for that year were $8.5 million. Today, Spire has at least $100,000 to $150,000 a month cash flow loss, even with the fees for services that it does collect.
But doesn't that fees for services defeat the exclusive use requirement? The word is exclusive. And when you say on a case-by-case basis and so on, that's what is troubling me here, the exclusive use, in addition to the actual ownership of the property being with the Cutters.
Spire's operational model, in terms of exclusive use, Spire's operational model is no different from the Y. I go to the Y, I pay a membership fee, a senior citizen goes to the Y, they don't have to pay a membership fee. Revenue, simply the fact that there is revenue, does not change the use to an exclusive, from exclusive to non-exclusive. Spire's use of the real property, and that's what we're talking about, Spire's use of the real property is consistent with the public policy underlying the real estate property tax exemption. Spire affords a present benefit to the general public from its operations sufficient to justify a loss of tax revenue. 570912B doesn't require an institution to show a particular percentage of unreimbursed services to qualify for charitable use. That comes from this court's case in dialysis center, clinic versus Levin. There's no threshold amount. The key is the commitment to provide services on a non-discriminatory basis, which Spire does, without regard to ability to pay. In answer to your question, Justice O'Donnell, about a sliding scale, it's done on a case-by-case basis. We are a private nonprofit. We are a private charity. We're not a government institution.
I thought the BTA made a determination that there was no concrete evidence of Spire providing reduced price services. That was one of their findings.
There is plenty of evidence in this record of supplying either free or reduced services. But it's the issue I think the BTA had is that they want to impose some kind of bureaucratic paperwork requirement on a nonprofit, a private nonprofit. We're not a government bureaucracy. It's not a situation where someone comes in and they have to bring all their paperwork and show that they are, you know, at 200% or below the poverty guidelines.
Counselor, you do have to produce some paperwork to convince the taxing authorities that you are what you say you are.
And we did that, Chief Justice. We offered our articles of incorporation, our IRS status as a charity. The written policy concerning...
But when questioned, you know, and certainly the BTA and the taxing authority has the ability to question it, but when questioned, the documentation wasn't presented that would support and would answer the questions that were asked. I know, I realize that, you know, you've got the articles of incorporation and the stuff that documents that have been prepared initially, but when examining the operation, I guess that's the way I would put it, examining the operation, it didn't meet the test.
Well, I would argue, Chief Justice, that there was plenty of evidence, and the profit and loss statement speaks volumes concerning the amount of revenue that comes in and the amount of services that go out and the loss. And that loss has to be made up somewhere, and that comes from $6 million from charitable donations.
And do they get $6 million every year?
Or more in order to cover the loss. The operating loss of Spire now is much higher than it was before. And it is, you will find when you take a look at the record, not only the profit and loss, but there's no requirement in Ohio case law that you have that kind of written documentation about a charitable purpose. There's an old case involving the Cleveland Clinic that as long as there is a charitable purpose, it doesn't have to be in writing.
Before you sit down, if I understand the tax commissioner's position, I have it broken out into three parts. First of all, it suggests that the tax commissioner suggests that a minor portion of the activities are free, but most it is exclusively used as a fee-for-service transaction at market rates. And then the tax commissioner continues and argues that you have no fee waiver policy or plan to provide services on a sliding scale.
There is a policy.
And then he argues, thirdly, there's no discount for local residents based on income. Could you address those three areas before you sit down?
Okay, because I do want to reserve just a few minutes of a minute of my time.
Well, you've burned through that, so go ahead and answer.
All right. There is documentary evidence and oral testimony in the record that there is fee waivers, reduced fees, and again, Justice O'Donnell, I would urge you to take a look at the profit and loss statement. Those figures tell the entire story here about the charitable nature of Spire.
Okay, is there a fee for service at market rates? So if someone comes there, how much do they pay and what do they get?
Some rates are comparable or below, say, what the Y would charge.
Okay.
But those can be waived on a case-by-case basis. Okay. And I will reserve a few seconds for rebuttal. Thank you.
Counsel.
May it please the court. Spire is not a charitable institution, it's not an educational institution, and it has not satisfied its burden to show entitlement to exemption. The record establishes that the services provided on the property are not discounted based upon financial need. Rather, all consumers pay the same price, the same flat rate fee set at market rates.
Well, is there a fee waiver for some individuals or not?
They haven't.
Ms. Trapp is just in response to my last question. She said there are fee waivers available.
No, that's not the case. In fact, I have several activities that occur on the property where they have flat rate fee schedules in the record that were not discounted based upon need. So that's not the case.
Somebody asked for a discount? Do you know if it was, give me an example of what kind of service you're talking about that there was no waiver?
Sure. So there's a fitness gym. It's called Spire Fit at this facility where anyone can go and they can pay a membership fee and they can join the gym and they can use the weight training equipment. They can go to the aquatic facility and they pay a fee. And that flat rate fee schedule is in the record at pages 35 and 36 of the statutory transcript. And this facility is just like the fitness gym that this court addressed.
Is there any evidence that someone would go to there to Spire and say, I'd really like to join, but I can't afford it. Can you give me a 75% reduction?
No. There's the self-serving testimony of their sole witness, Chief Operating Officer Jeffrey Orloff, which was rejected by the Board of Tax Appeals as, you know, unreliable hearsay. The evidence in the record is the actual fee schedules, which show that they're all flat. They're not discounted upon need. Mr. Orloff testified that they didn't have any sort of a policy on their website in 2010, the tax year at issue. And so, no, there's not evidence of it. The evidence, the record affirmatively shows that it's not discounted based upon need. So let me give you another example. They have a contract with the United States Olympic Committee. And this is a contract where Spire makes its facilities available to high-grade Olympic caliber athletes, but they're not free. They are handsomely compensated in the form of a license to use the Olympic logo and trademark, and this is now an Olympic training site. So in exchange for this license to use the trademark, they're providing facilities to the United States Olympic Committee's athletes. This is a fee-for-service, non-charitable transaction.
Ms. Trapp several times talked about the Spire is very similar to the Y. Can you address that issue?
Absolutely. That's a very good question, Your Honor. It's not like the Y for that critical reason that it's not discounted based upon financial need. That's the touchstone of charity under Ohio law, under the Planned Parenthood case, it's now 50 years ago, that discounting services based upon need, based upon ability to pay. And at the Y, you do have that. You do have a policy to discount based upon need. And here we don't, and they actually do it, the Y actually does do that. Here we don't have that. We have flat rate fees. The testimony was that the market dictates the rates here.
Well, don't they have 30 high school students at a reduced rate?
Let me explain the boarding program. Essentially, no, Your Honor. They had a boarding program where you live and learn off-premises. Spire is not an educational institution. It's not a charitable institution. The boarding program is attending the Andrews Osborne Academy in Willoughby, Ohio, where the formal education occurs there. They live there in dorms at Andrews Osborne, and then they go to Spire for the training portion. And their allegation is that there are students that receive scholarships. Well, it's not charitable because we know those scholarships aren't discounted based upon financial need. The application doesn't.
I thought that training was free.
No, absolutely not.
There's no free coaching or training for those students?
No, there's not. They're charged tens of thousands of dollars per year for that training, and then in addition, they pay for their room and board at Andrews Osborne. They are.
Oh, wait a second. Are they scholarship students at Andrews Osborne, and part of that scholarship pays Spire for their services that they render to these students?
Part of the scholarship or part of the tuition?
Well, they're receiving money to go to Andrews Osborne, right?
Yes, the students are paying money for education room and training at Spire.
Okay, all right. Are the students paying or are they on scholarship?
They've alleged that they're on scholarship, but there's absolutely no evidence of that. They've produced a two-page document for the 2013-14 school year. We have 2010 tax year at issue here with columns that are unexplained. We don't know how much they were discounted, but the key factor is that we do know that it's not discounted about financial need because of the testimony and the explanation of the admissions process. They never ask about the financial condition of these students.
Is there free use for the Paralympians?
No. This is the same use as I just described with the Olympic Committee. They are providing those facilities in exchange for that license to use a trademark. And that arrangement, by the way, was not entered into until the summer of 2013, well after the 2010 tax year at issue and well after the commissioner's final determination in 2012. But to get back to the boarding program, the admissions process is something that the Board of Tax Appeals Hearing Examiner referred to as willy-nilly. It's entirely subjective. They don't ask for documentation that these students have a financial need. They don't ask for tax forms, W-2, nothing. The testimony was that they investigate the character, which is an entirely subjective standard. He couldn't explain. He said, you know, usually you can tell their character. It was effectively no standard at all. And this is not charity.
All right, well, so how many students are at this Osborne or Andrews Osborne Academy?
We don't know.
All right, so I guess I would question why only 30 students get the services of Spire or you know, use the facility. Are they elite athletes?
That's our understanding, Your Honor. It's their burden to show entitled to exemption, and they haven't satisfied in any way, shape, or form. They've alleged 30 students in the 2013-2014 tax year, or school year, rather.
But you don't know if there were 30 students in the 2010 tax year?
No, we don't. We don't know. And just to touch on a point that was brought up with my friend on the other side, the contributions that they're receiving from the outside community, these are contributions almost exclusively from one individual, Ron Clutter, the same individual who owns the for-profit lessor and the the CEO and the director and founder of the lessee, Spire.
So wait a minute. He donates $6 million or thereabouts to Spire.
Much more than that. We have the 990s in the record. One year he donated $19 million. The 990s Schedule L reflects millions of dollars in loans. The contributions are almost exclusively from this one man. So it's not like that there are, you know.
Were his initial contributions to this charity used for the development of the facilities and the property?
My understanding is that yes.
Okay.
There's a fee for services at this facility, am I right?
Yes, and I can detail many of those if you'd like.
If I understand Ms. Trapp's argument, those fees don't cover the full operational cost of the facility. Is that also true?
If you subtract out the contributions from Mr. Clutter, they're operating at a loss, yes.
Okay. And so the charitable donations then make up the difference, am I right?
Yeah, they contribute to them operating in the black, yes.
So this is not an institution, then, that's operating at a profit?
It doesn't happen to have a profit, but just the same, you might have a business that's operating at a loss. Doesn't mean it's...
Well, you could increase the fees, and then it might operate as a profit. But it's operating as a charitable institution giving scholarships and making it available for training purposes for Olympians and others and some people in the community.
Well,
so why does the charge for a service make it not charitable?
The key is that it's a charge for a service at market rates. This court has been clear that
The difference if it's at market rates? It's not making a profit. It's below a profit-making margin, and it needs charitable contributions to operate.
Okay. Well, they're not operating at a loss because of a charitable endeavor. If they raised the rates, it could be that they'd make even less.
But we want to get a membership at the Y, and that works out to $100 a month, and this is a comparable. Would it be charitable if they only charge $75 a month?
The key is looking at the financial need of the consumers. In Planned Parenthood, this court stated that charity is providing goods or services without regard for ability to pay, without regard to the consumer's ability to pay. So if that component's lacking, it's not charitable. And the reason that they haven't raised rates is because they would make even less money, because people wouldn't buy them. Even fewer people would come. A business operating at a loss is not charitable. It's just operating at a loss.
So it's your view that because there's no sliding scale, no means testing for those users, that's what makes it charitable or not, and that's what's lacking in this case?
Yes, and it's not only lacking, the record affirmatively establishes that they don't do that. So they have the burden to show entitlement to exemption, and what they've provided are a litany of examples where it's not discounted based upon need. They have event...
Well, are there fee waivers? I thought Ms. Trapp suggested in response to one of my questions that there was a fee waiver available.
There are not. I'm not aware of any fee waivers. They haven't produced any evidence of that.
Counsel, right. I'm not sure I understood your last answer to Justice O'Donnell. Did you say the Paralympians do or do not pay fees to use the Spire Institute?
The United States Olympic Committee is providing those services, not Spire, the applicant for exemption in this case. So there's a trademark between the U.S. Olympic Committee provides a license to use the Olympic trademark to Spire and to designate an Olympic training site. In exchange for that, they provide the facilities to Paralympians.
I've driven by the facility. I fully understand there's an Olympic logo on the side of the building. My direct question is, Paralympics, do they charge them a fee to use the facility?
They're being compensated in the form of a trademark. It's not dollars, but they are being compensated. So they're charging
The answer would be no?
They don't charge a monetary fee to the Paralympians when they arrive at the facility, but they have previously contracted with the United States Olympic Committee to receive a license. So if your child wants to be the next Michael Phelps or the next Allison Felix or whomever they identify with, you know, they might now be thinking that this is the place to go, and they might go join an athletic league or an athletic club that Spire offers or, you know, rent out their
facilities. So it's a marketing advantage to have the Olympic logo and affiliation.
Yes, and they have contracts, and out of respect for their confidentiality concerns, we didn't enter that contract into the record, which, by the way, was entered into well after the tax year, but we did provide testimony, and that's in the hearing transcript at pages 143 to 145 of the BTA hearing transcript, that's the arrangement they have.
So you're saying the profit doesn't have to come from the users themselves. The profit can be given in other ways, such as the logo for the Olympics.
Yes, and the focus here is whether the services being provided on the property are discounted, and whether Spire is providing a discounted fee, and they're not. It's the benefits coming from the Olympic Committee.
In your view, is it Spire's the owner, or is it the Ronnie Lee that is the owner of this property to begin with?
Well, that's a very good question. The lease in this case is all smoke and mirrors. We have the lessee and the lessor controlled by the same person, Ron Clutter. It's not really a 99-year lease, and we know that because the lease already ended. Publicly available quick claim deed filed by Spire with the county auditor in December 2015 shows that they have no interest in this property. The lease is over, and I think they're very remiss to be arguing that there's a 99-year renewable lease that has, when it's already ended. It doesn't run through 2108. It ended in December 2015. And again, that document's publicly available. But the whole issue of whether Ronnie Lee or Spire is the owner is really a red herring, because both institutions are non-charitable. Ronnie Lee is a for-profit entity. The board said that they are not a charitable institution, but Spire likewise is not a charitable institution, because of all of the non-charitable activities occurring on the property. Spire, the board's factual findings made the predicate factual findings to require that legal conclusion. They said that there is no concrete evidence that services are discounted based upon ability to pay and that Spire doesn't have a charity policy. And that those factual findings, which this board, you know, does affirm when there, as here, there's reliable and probative evidence, require the conclusion that Spire is not a charitable institution. So the whole issue of the lessor or the lessee is really immaterial when you look at that.
If the Y had entered into the same type of situation that you're talking about with respect to the Olympic logo, and would that defeat the Y's charitable organization?
No, it wouldn't, Your Honor. They still are operating on a basis where they have a policy that if you need the services, they will make it available to you, and we don't have that here. And again, that's a critical distinction. So again, the Bethesda case says we're looking at the totality of the circumstances, and if they're going to enter into, you know, one contract, that's not going to defeat it. What we are looking at is if somebody comes and says, I need it, are they going to provide it, and have they shown it on the record? And that's not in this case. It shows the opposite. There are several other activities, event hostings. You have a banquet hall here where you can rent it out for weddings, wine tastings, wedding receptions, corporate outings and events, birthday parties. These are all not discounted based upon need.
So there's no sliding scale for a wine tasting?
There's not. And Mr. Orloff, their only witness, was clear at the BTA hearing at page 114 of the statutory transcript that they don't have a written or published schedule to discount based upon need, and that directly.
But they have a written schedule that tells you if I'm shopping around for a banquet hall for a variety of purposes, I'll know what I have to pay.
We don't have that in the record, but yes, it's a flat fee. By the board has rejected the testimony that they have any sort of a fee discounted based upon need.
Mr. Ebersole, there was a claim for exemption here because Spire is a charitable organization, and that was rejected by the taxpayer. But there was also a claim for exemption under 5709-121. Did the BTA address that claim?
Are you referring to their federal tax-exempt status?
The claim for exemption under 5709-121, was that addressed, or was just the determination made that it is not a charitable organization, and that was the end of the analysis?
They did say that it's not exempt. So Spire is not a charitable institution. We've been very clear about that.
Should there be an analysis under 121 for exemption?
Well, that analysis really goes back to whether Spire is a charitable institution. And since Spire operates exclusively on this property, it's really one and the same. So Spire is not a charitable institution for the same reason that the property is not used exclusively for charitable purposes, because this property is the only place where it operates.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Trapp, you've used your time. You may take 30 seconds.
The state of Ohio is only looking at the revenue side.
Well, let's examine that revenue side. You said $6 million comes in from donors, and that was plural.
Yes.
Is the lion's share of that donor Mr. Cutter?
Initially, but not over the course of the term that we are looking at. There are large and small businesses in Ashtabula County, in Cleveland, in Northeast Ohio that make contributions to Spire as well.
And that outnumbers the amount of money that Mr. Cutter gives. Is that what you're saying?
I can't give you the exact breakdown, but yes, Mr. Cutter is a major benefactor, Bill Gates is
right,
a major benefactor.
Well, I understand that, but he is not Bill Gates. This is his own property that he is putting money into and wanting to cloak it with a charitable label so that it has that kind of a obviously tax consequence.
But there is a very substantial firewall that prevents that kind of self-dealing if that was even in the record. The financial penalties that to Mr. and Mrs. Cutter alone are enough to protect the charitable nature of that institution.
It would be a deterrent. I'll grant you that, but that's not being examined here. What's being examined is the activities that take place on this. And you know, you made you know, that you made the statement about the revenue and the negative revenue stream, the loss, et cetera. And then it comes to light that Mr. Cutter is the major donor here for this. So, you know, that's fair inquiry.
I do want to clear up one statement that was made by my learned opponent. The USOC is a charity. And we are assisting, Spire is assisting with its charitable purpose. Spire provides all services to those Olympic athletes for free. Yes, there is a use of a trademark, but modern philanthropy requires not only looking at contributions from individuals and businesses, but modern philanthropy, especially at the size and nature of Spire, you have to have revenues, or this place will close. $20,000 that is paid by the Geneva area schools for the use of the football field, that doesn't even keep the lights on.
Okay, but you would agree that whether or not there's a profit is not the test, the sole test here.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely, thank you for your time.
Thank you, we will take the matter under advisement and you will be notified of our decision.
Council, I want to direct your attention to, I'm sorry I was late this morning, we had some snow, but this is a very electronic building, so I will not have missed any of your arguments.